This podcast is a production of Schweitzer, a United Methodist Church, transforming lives by making disciples of Jesus Christ.
I remember going to church as an adult, right, for the first time when I started going to church, and I would walk in, and the pastor was like, he said, "I want you to pray with your neighbor." And I'm like, "Well, my neighbor don't go to this church. I don't know if you want me to... You want me to call my neighbor on the phone? That's creepy. I ain't gonna do that." Right, then they explained to me, right, your neighbor is a person sitting next to you. Listen, I'm brand new at this Christian stuff. I didn't even know you're supposed to pray out loud, let alone with this lady. I don't even know this lady. What am I supposed to pray about? "Lord, help these bumps go down on this lady's face." I don't know what to pray about. I don't know what I'm supposed to pray about, right? She went first. She was praying all good, and she must have been John the Baptist's little sister or something. Praying. She was like, "Dear Heavenly Father, you said in your word in the 6th chapter, the third verse of the book of Matthew, the 601st word on page 1248. Lord, you said, but seek, S is in search, E is in everywhere, E is in excellent, K is in kingdom. You're the Alpha, Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha." I'm thinking, man, she even know his nicknames. Now it's my turn to pray, right? But I don't got the spiritual vocabulary to just, but I'm not gonna let her outpray me. So I'm like, "Okay, God, first of all, you are good people. You know, you are good, Lord. You are good. You are good to the last drop, Lord. Because, Lord, I just gotta obey my thirst, Lord. You know, because choosy moms choose Jesus. So, Lord, because. You know, as the rocket's red glare, Lord, it gave proof to the night, Lord. I believe I could fly, amen."
Well, Michael Jr. is one of the great Christian comedians of our day, and I think he really nails it when he talks about how easily intimidated we are when it comes to praying. How easy it is for us to fall into this, "Oh my gosh, you know, I need to be something different than I am right now, or I need to use these big spiritual words, or my voice changes in its tone," or whatever. And so I noticed that when we've been talking about setting this whole series up on prayer, that the word intimidating keeps coming up in a lot of conversations. "Oh man, you know, this is intimidating, the idea of praying out loud or praying with other people, or just the idea of what do I pray about when I do pray on my own." And so what I want to do in this series of messages is to kind of serve as your tour guide, okay? And we're going to keep it normal. We're going to keep it natural as we're open to the supernatural. Now, among our leaders at Schweitzer, we oftentimes use the terminology travel agent versus tour guide. And what we mean by that is we can all know what travel agents do. Travel agents give us a brochure, and they show us the places, and they help maybe book things for us, and they've never been there themselves, most likely, but that's what a travel agent does. And we don't need travel agents on Sunday morning when we come to this place. We need tour guides. We need people that will show us where we want to go. And in that same way, what I want to do in this series of messages is be a tour guide and helping us to journey, because a tour guide, they go there with you. They've been there. They know the places. They know the sites. They know what you don't want to miss. And so as your tour guide, I'm not saying that I'm this expert, I'm this big super spiritual person. All I'm simply saying is I'm a normal guy who prays. I'm a normal guy who prays. And that prayer can be very normal, very natural. And so let's not get uptight about this. Let's not be intimidated about prayer, but let's learn to grow in whatever our prayer life is like right now. Let's just move forward together. And today, to get it started, what I want to do is simply talk about the content, some of the basic content of praying, as well as how you create that space in your life to pray, okay, in an intentional way. So to get it started, we're going to look at some words from Philippians chapter 4. It's a book in the New Testament. And before we look at the scripture, I want to say about where these words came from. These words came from the Apostle Paul, who is in prison, okay? So as he writes these words, things are not easy for him. He's chained to a guard. In fact, he's writing to his brothers and sisters, his friends back in Philippi, and guess what? He spent some time in jail there too. And so when we think about the circumstances that's going on in our life right now, let's just keep in mind that the words that we're going to look at in Scripture come from real life, from a real dude who's in prison, who actually is near the end of his life, and he's about to be martyred for his faith, okay? So it's amazing to me that Paul can write this. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry, when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Now, three words that Paul uses in that statement about let petitions and praise shape your worries into prayers. Talk to God about your big concerns. First, let's talk about petitions. What are petitions? Petitions are requests, right? You petition something to happen. You're wanting something to occur. You are bold enough to ask for it. You're petitioning. You're making a request. So all of us can learn to petition, to ask specifically God for something. God wants us to be specific in our conversation. I sometimes wonder, you know, if we talk to other people the way we talk to God in such general terms sometimes, they would have to think, what do you really mean? And so God invites us to be very specific. Now, when I was doing this exercise the other day on letting your petitions turn your worry into prayer, I thought about, okay, I just stopped and I asked myself, what am I worried about? Five things came to mind. Five things I was worrying about that day. So how do I decide what to pray about? I pray about what's on my mind. Now, what was on my mind, what was I worried about, as trivial as, are the Royals going to do better than the Cardinals in the playoffs this year? That's pretty trivial. Well, not really, but something as trivial as that to a big concern that I carry in my life that's too personal to share. Now, I could be really super spiritual and say, you know, I shouldn't be worried about this, but praying is not praying like we'd like to be, it's praying as you are. So when you got to figure out, okay, what's the content of my prayer? What's on your mind? What's keeping you awake at night? What's your first thoughts in the morning? Pray about those things. Keep it simple. But be specific and dare to make that request to God. Now, let me give you an example. Neil McCall is a dude in the church, one of our leaders. Neil's married to Carol, and he's a good grandpa and a good father. And Neil emailed me just a couple days ago about two very specific requests he made. One was last Monday, he's driving home from work, and he's been missing his customized hearing aids. And he's looked for them, and so he says, God, if those hearing aids are in my garage like I think they are, would you please help me find them? He'd been looking for them for some time. So he gets home, and he goes to his garage, and he's directed to his closet. He says, his closet's not very tidy, like many of our closets aren't. And somehow, some way, he's been there looking before, but he pulls this refrigerator away, and behind it all, what's going on? Well, he looks down, and there's a Walmart sack, and in the Walmart sack are the hearing aids. Second big deal. We go last Friday. He goes to speak to his this group of AA folks. Neil has celebrated 11 years of sobriety. Give it up for Neil, okay? We got a picture of him and his grandson. Might pop that one up there too, just so you. He's a really good grandpa and a good Cardinal fan too. But anyway, so Neil is going to speak a week ago Friday to the 30 guys that struggle with addictions. and it's an extemporaneous talk, and he's scared. We know that the number one fear of people's death, the number two fear is public speaking. I'm always afraid I'm going to die up here every week. And so Neil's scared to death. And so as he's driving, he prays. And he asks the Holy Spirit to really give him the words. He asks the Holy Spirit to come and use him and to say what really needs to be said. So what he gets up there is not just a filler. And he says he gets up there before these guys, and it's just like water coming from a rock. Just pours out. He's given thoughts, and he's saying words that, where is this stuff coming from? And he says afterwards, and he's not telling this to pat himself on the back, but he says afterwards, he knew that God used him in a great way because two or three people came up and said, that was exactly what I needed to hear today. I would suggest that if Neil had not gotten specific about those two prayer requests, he would not have found his hearing aids, and he certainly would not have been used by God in a powerful way a week ago Friday, speaking to those who struggle with addiction. Requests, specific requests, making those petitions, name them before God. And then praise, you know, praise, gratitude, thanksgiving. Praise is thanking God for who he is, all those amazing attributes, getting lost up in that, telling God this stuff. And gratitude or thanksgiving is this sense of thanking God for specific things that's right in my life. What's God up to? What's he doing? And when we praise God and we spend time with that, guess what? God's sense of well-being, God's sense of peace settles down over us. And Christ displaces worry at the center of my life. That's what happens. Without Christ at the center, without praise, without inviting Jesus in, we're just going to fret our way through life because there's all kinds of things to worry about, right? So praise, gratitude. Hannah Loader, beautiful young lady, eighth grader. She was one of the first gals I baptized here 14 years ago as a little baby. She's grown up to be this dynamic young woman, loves Jesus. And so she's doing this prayer exercise the other day where she's drawing, you know, the heart over in her hand and saying, God loves me. And Hannah, when she was a little child, she had a run-in with an escalator, and she lost that battle, and she has a big scar on her hand. And she was drawing this heart over the scar, and she said, as I did that, just like God said, I love you, scars and all. You know, folks, we got scars. We all have scars. We have physical scars. But more importantly, we got emotional scars. We got spiritual wounds. What a wonderful message that Hannah just had some moments there, fresh encounter with God. God saying, I love you. Scars and all. Now, as a tour guide, and as we practice prayer, what we want is we want these fresh encounters with God. We don't create them. We don't conjure them up. If you have a fresh encounter with God that you would like to share with me, I would invite you to email me at rcassidy@sumc.co. Cassidy is spelled differently than most people spell Cassidy. It's rcassady@sumc.co, and share with me that encounter that you have that's fresh and new with God. And I'll ask you, okay, if I do feel like I want to use it, I'll get your permission before I do that. But whether I use it in a message or not, what I'd love to do is just hear from you. Because I believe that if we do this, if we pray every day and we have expectation that we're going to have these fresh, real experiences with God. Now, there's that third word that Paul says. He says, praise, petition, and concerns. I am not going to suggest to you that if you just ask for anything specifically, it's automatically going to happen. I'm not going to suggest to you that everything gets fixed just because you pray. In fact, that's where that concerns are. And the word for that is supplication in the New Testament. And it's this idea of something that's deeply troubling. It's that ongoing burden. It's that concern that you cannot seem to fix. there's a person in my life that's very special to me that I've been praying for daily. And it seems like the more I pray, the worse the situation gets. And so when I was praying about the five things I was worrying about, that was the big concern. And I was, as I was praying about this big concern, I just was giving this person to Jesus. And as I'm doing that, an image comes to my mind. Now, I want you to know this. I did not create this image. But I believe this image, this picture, was given to me because of that. Because I was praying. And the image I got was Jesus putting his hands over this person's head. He's praying over his mind, praying over his thoughts. It's like Jesus saying, I'm praying for him. I got him. 2 hours later, he calls me. Out of the blue. Talks about this disconnection he's having spiritually with God. How tough it is. And so I shared, you know what, just a couple hours ago, this is what happened to me when I was praying for you. So friends, I'm not suggesting to us that everything gets fixed. In fact, I would say every one of us in this room is carrying a big burden. So be kind to everyone. Everyone's carrying a big burden. Everyone's got something going on that you can't fix. But here is a scripture that just settles it for me. That in those things that I cannot fix, in those things that are not seemingly, there's not movement of God, in Corinthians it says that whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. In him, this is what we preach and we pray, the great amen, God's yes and our yes together, gloriously evident. Now, what does that mean? To me, that means that, well, did you know that the word amen means yes? So anytime you're saying amen, you're saying yes. Yes to that. And in Jesus, God has given us the big yes. The question is, have we said yes to Jesus? Have you said, Jesus, yes. I believe that you died for me on the cross. Yes, Jesus. I believe that you're alive, that you've risen from the dead. Yes, Jesus, I believe that you are for me. Yes, Jesus, I want you into my life. Yes, Jesus, I give myself to you. When we do that, what the ground that I stand on is, I know Jesus has said yes to me. And come what may, I can give it all to him. Even those concerns, even those things that don't seem to be getting fixed. It's the big yes. So, what do we pray about? Pray about real stuff, petitions. Don't forget to praise God for what's good and who God is. And yes, share with him the deep concerns of your life. And let God speak to you through that. Now, we're going to shift gears and we're going to move toward, well, how do you create this space with God? How do you create that place? Okay, we're going to look at some scripture that Jesus uses. It's in the Matthew's gospel. Matthew's one of the four New Testament gospels. It's written primarily to people who come from a Jewish background. And these are the words of Jesus that's a part of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. Jesus speaks about many different things. And one of the things Jesus talks about is prayer. And Jesus says these words about prayer. When you come before God, don't turn it into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. So Jesus is saying, when you pray, you got that place to go to? You got that secluded place? Some of the translations say a closet. Literally in the Middle East, where the Christianity was born, it probably meant that they pulled this scarf over their face. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley and 16 other kids, she pulled her apron over her face. And when she did that, the kids knew that Mama was praying, don't bother her. And that for that 1 hour, it was her 1 hour of sanity, prayer. We got to be creative sometimes. Some of you who are moms, dads, small children, crazy lifestyle, crazy busyness, you got to create your closet, your space. But, you know, for me, literally a chair to go to is huge. So I have a place that I know when I sit in that chair, I don't have to tell my mind what I'm there for. Now, when I sit at the dinner table, I'm sitting there to eat. Yes. When I go to bed at night, I lie down to sleep. When I sit at my office chair, I don't know what I'm doing there, but it's administrative leadership. So my mind knows I'm just geared for that. So when I pray, I have a chair in a room in my house, a real place. I don't have to convince my mind what I'm there for. I am there to talk with God, and this is where I go. So what's your chair, okay? When I was a kid, I was messing up sometimes, and my mother would say, Robert, sit in the chair. And I'd say, how long do I have to sit in the chair? She says, until you simmer down. And I have found that I need this chair time every day because I need to simmer down. I need a place to settle. I need a place to go. Now, here's the other deal. I need a time. So, you know, I get my iPhone out and I tap in a time. Can I tap in my regular routine 15 minutes of chair time? So I have a place to go and I have a time. Am I going to do this perfectly? Am I going to mess up some days? Yes. But more days than not, if I have a time and a place to go to, I'm there to meet with God. And when I settle down, now you settle differently than I do because you're wired differently. It might be music for you. You might light a candle. You might look at a cross. You might look out the window. But you may breathe deeply, whatever it is. But you know, we just got to take a few minutes to settle down where we just dial down the racing thoughts. You got to do something to center in this space, in this place. And then as you pray and you follow the pray, study, grow, or you read a psalm or you look at the scripture, but you petition, you praise, and you share those concerns. And you give God elbow room in your life. And there's two main goals I have when I do this in my chair time every day. Two main goals. One is that I sense that I am in the presence of God. That I have placed myself in God's presence. And there's a peace, more times than not, that settles over me. And the second goal is I give God this opportunity to speak into my life. I give God the opportunity to say a word to me. Oftentimes it's out of scripture or something about going on that day or a visual, or a picture, or a thought. And again, more times than not, there'll usually be an impression or something. But what I do is I know that I've given God ample opportunity that day to speak into my life. And that can be monumental. So in summary, as your prayer guide, your tour guide, today, I want to encourage you to carve out a space and a place. I want you to think about the content of petitioning, talking to God about anything that's on your mind, anything you're worried about. Be as specific as possible. Don't forget to praise God for all this good in your life. And yeah, share those big concerns. Give Him elbow room and space. In your pray, study, grow, and this is electronically sent to you every morning. We're starting tomorrow, week 2. And we're going to be looking at praying the scriptures. And so you get to follow this. And if you can carve out 15 minutes a day, you can spend more time than that if you want. It's okay. That's how you can practice the reality of prayer. Now, what we want to do as we take Holy Communion today is something a little different. We're going to do this in silence. The sacrament of Holy Communion is something that we offer to everyone, baptized believers, people who are ready to come and receive Christ. If children receive communion, parents, you need to instruct them of the purpose for which communion is being given. And as we receive communion today, I'm going to consecrate the elements in silence. And the servers will come and they will serve you in silence. And this is our time to just, this is our own individual chair time, okay, if you will. You get about 10 minutes and we're going to receive communion. And then as we do this, talk to God about whatever you need to talk to God about. It may be specific petitions, what you're worried about. It may be something ecstatic going on in your life. You want to praise God for His goodness and what God's doing. It may be a really deep concern. It may be a confession. You've got something you've messed up on, and you just need to really come clean with God about it. It may be a deep concern for somebody else. I hope somebody's praying that God would stamp out the evil of terrorism in this world. So, whatever it is, let's just let God speak to our life.